I'm talking to young people and I'm speaking to older ones this morning, and I'm saying to you, God has some big plans for you.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Opinions abound over the question, what is the measure of success? This evening, we will look into the scriptures as Pastor Brian Grant explores that question from the perspective of a man called the father of faith, Abraham. This is the fifth message in Pastor Grant's series on the life of Abraham. We have followed this great man since God called him out of the land of his idol-worshipping relatives, promising to bless him in a land that he knew not. In this message, we will hear how a fresh encounter with God took Abraham out of his comfort zone, gave him a new name, renewed his commitment, and set him on a path to far greater blessing than he had ever imagined possible. Our main text tonight is taken from the 17th chapter of Genesis, so if you have your Bibles, please turn with us there and listen as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A man fell off a cliff, but somehow he managed to grab a tree limb on his way down. And as he was holding on to that limb, he said, Is anyone up there? Suddenly he heard a voice. I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? The man responded, Yes, Lord, I believe, but I can't hang on much longer. The voice said, If you really believe, just let go of the branch. I will save you. The man paused for a moment and then he cried out, Is there anyone else up there? Fully trusting the Lord is not always easy. We've been going through the story of Abraham, and we're at a very interesting part, and you want to make sure you're here as we move forward. One thing is clear, Abraham had a hard time fully trusting God. And so here we are this morning in Genesis chapter 17. It was now 13 years since Abraham had messed up and had a baby with Hagar, one of his servants. And in that 13-year period, there was silence from heaven. Abraham had not heard from God. And after a while, it appears, and you will see that as we read some more of the scripture this morning, you will see that Abraham had become comfortable with the idea that Ishmael would be his heir. Abraham was settling for less than God's best. I've met people like that, and I'm sure you have too. I've met people who know they have messed up, but after a while, they grow comfortable right where they are. You know, I've met people who are in unhealthy relationships. They're in a relationship that they initially had questions about. They knew what they were doing was not quite right, that this guy or this girl was not really the one, but they hung in there a while, and after a while they got comfortable until they're actually planning to get married. They have settled for less than God's best. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody like that this morning. You're in a relationship, but you are settling for less than God's best. You know, sometimes people are so busy, they have so many jobs, they have so many things going on, that they have little time for their family, they have little time for God. And initially it was tough, but after a while it got comfortable and they're keeping on right where they are. They have decided to settle. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Let me ask you, is there some area in your life where you have become comfortable? Come with me now. Am I speaking to someone who has become comfortable in a situation that's not God's best? If you're here, God has a special message for you today as we speak on the subject, don't settle for less than God's best. After 13 years, God was about to reveal to Abraham that his best years were still ahead of him. And I want you to know that God has not finished writing your story. God has not finished writing your story, so don't settle for less than God's best. Today's text gives us three clues about how to receive God's best. Clue number one, we need a fresh encounter with God. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. We need an encounter that will cause us first to submit to his awesome power. God said to Abram, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. This name of God, El Shaddai, focuses on God's might and power. You see, it translates almost to, I am God who is very, very strong. You see, he's the one who spoke the world into existence and the one who keeps it together. Just recently, we were hearing a story, and to be honest, I'm always mesmerized when we hear about God's creation. Just look at the sun, for example. Did you know every second the sun produces enough energy to meet the world's needs for 500,000 years? Did you know that? Boy, oh, pity we can't collect it and store it. You see, El Shaddai, there is no shortage of power. With El Shaddai, amen? But guess what? The sun is just an average-sized star. Did you know that? Some stars are so large, it would take 1 billion suns to fit inside this big star. And thank God El Shaddai made them all. He is the Almighty God. That's what El Shaddai means, the Almighty God. E-L-S-H-A-D-D-A-I, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Do you know nothing can thwart his plan? Abraham had settled on Ishmael being his heir, and who could blame him? After all, Sarah, his wife, was 89 years old, and her furnace was out of heat. Nothing could bake in that oven. It was impossible for her to have a baby, but nothing is impossible with El Shaddai. Am I right about that? A.W. Tozer once said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. He went on, what a pity we only plan things we do by ourselves. I don't want you to notice that. Tozer says, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. He says, what a pity we only plan to do things we can do by ourselves. Are you open to God doing some impossible things through you? Young people, I'm speaking to you. Are you open to God doing the impossible through you? Or are you going to leave here this morning continuing to settle for less than God's best? Do you know God has big plans for you? You all know I love this verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, know unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we what? Oh, hold a second. Do you realize that? He's able to do what you ask or think. No, it actually didn't say that. He says he's able to do above what you ask or even think. Whatever you can imagine, whatever you can dream, God can do above that. But is that all it said? No, no, no. It said he's able to do abundantly above all you. No, it said more than that. It says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm talking to young people, and I'm speaking to older ones this morning, and I'm saying to you, God has some big plans for you. Some of us, our foreparents, went through so much drama, and yet they achieved so much. What has happened to us? why we are now living in a box. I challenge you, dare to dream. I challenge you, young person, it doesn't matter what your family is like. It doesn't matter the constraints of your family. I challenge you to dare to dream, because God is, if God is your father, you can dream. The dream that God puts in your heart, when God gives you a vision, we're going to talk about that. When he puts something on your heart, he is able to do the impossible. Oh, I wish I could just spend the whole evening talking to you this evening and just sharing, but I know we are people of time, so I'm going to control myself. But listen, I am saying we need to submit to the awesome power of God. He comes to Abraham and he says to Abraham, who is settling for Ishmael because his wife cannot have a baby, and somehow he misses who God is, that God is El Shaddai. And God comes to him and he says, Abram, I'm El Shaddai. I have all power. Nobody can restrain me.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you believe in this God? Is this your God? Is this the God you serve? Is this the God you worship? Second, submit to his demand for holiness. Not only does he come to Abraham and say, I am Almighty God, he says, walk before me and be blameless. God demands holiness. 1 Peter 1:16, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's not a suggestion. Young people and older ones, we need to grab this. God is not giving us a suggestion. And I want to suggest to you that part of the challenge of our generation is that we want God's power without the price. Listen, the two are connected. He says to Abraham, I am Almighty God, and he follows it. Walk before me blameless. And we need a new generation of young people and older ones who will say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am not going to go the world's way. And don't tell me you can't help it. Don't tell me, oh, I'm just human. Yes, you are just human. But once we came to Jesus Christ, oh, we became a little more than human, amen, because we are in his power, amen. I tell you this story before and I'll tell it to you again. If two dogs are fighting every day and you have a desire to have one dog win the fight, can I tell you one easy way to decide who wins the fight? What you do is keep feeding one dog and starve the other dog. Do you know that after a while, guess what's going to happen? Come on, help me out. I'm from Jamaica. I don't understand all these deep things. If you feed one dog, what's going to happen to him? If you don't feed the other dog, what's going to happen to him? That well-fed dog going to overpower the starved dog. You say, Pastor, break it down to me. What in the world are you talking about? I'm simply saying that the challenge of our era is to find young men and young women and older ones who will grab a hold of the word of God and the things of God and decide, I am going to feed upon the word of God. I am going to grow strength from the things of God. But guess what? If we're not careful, here's the devil's trick. The devil wants you to feed on the stuff, his stuff. So some show is on and everybody at school or at college or in the workplace is talking about the show. You don't really care what's going on. Oh, you're running in. I got to see it. But listen, that dirt See, the dirt, we allow dirt to enter through ear gate and eye gate. And once the dirt has gotten into us, it's the hardest thing to get rid of some of the stuff we have seen. I hope, young people, you're listening to me. You need to grab a hold of this. Don't follow. Listen, if we had a testimony time and some of the older folks were honest, they would come before you and confess how they have messed up their life with some of the stuff they got themselves into. And sadly, some of you are rushing headlong. Don't go there. God's way is the best way. And I'm here to tell you, don't settle for less than God's best. God has awesome power available to you. But he says, listen, be blameless. Third, submit to worship his majesty and holiness. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says, Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, confronted with the holiness and majesty of God. Abraham falls flat on his face on the ground. Here's what I want to say to you. Never lose sight of who God is. He is not the man upstairs. He is. Oh, I want it to get down into your soul. He is not the man upstairs. He is not your big brother. He is the Almighty God. Oh, he wants to have a relationship. Don't get me wrong. But when Isaiah got a vision, you remember what Isaiah chapter 6 says? Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. He says, for mine eyes have seen the King. Oh, might we get a vision of who God is. Never lose sight of who he is. The tendency is for the devil to want you to think how big you are and how small he is. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. I think I heard the Sunday school kids singing that. How does it continue? There is nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Oh, I'm thanking God. This is my God. I hope he's your God. Come on now, is he your God? But second, not only do we want to talk about a fresh encounter with God, but second, we need a fresh vision from God. And as I studied this chapter and to try and bring it all together, one of the things that I noticed were three parallels that I want to bring to your attention. Three parallels from Abram's experience that parallels some of our own experiences. And I don't want you to miss this as we talk about the fact that God, not only do we need to have a fresh encounter with God, but we need to have a fresh vision from God. Parallel number one, the promise of everlasting blessing. I'm in Genesis chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 4. And the word of God says, as for me, God is speaking, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I've made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. God was giving Abraham, I don't want you to miss this, because I tell you, if we're not careful, we miss this, because it almost sounds like God is repeating what he said in Genesis chapter 12, but that's not so. In Genesis chapter 17, God was giving Abraham even more magnificent promises than he had given him before. Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, and kings would come from him. You know, as I was preparing, I thought, just sometimes when we think we know God's plan for us, he surprises us with a more magnificent vision. Can I be very personal? I had no idea I was supposed to be standing here before you today. Some of you know that. Here I am enjoying running my little financial services company, minding my own business, preaching every now and then, and suddenly God comes up with this plan. I hope somebody's here to realize that you better not think God is finished with you. You better not close the book. Because I'm here to tell you, God may still be adding some exciting chapters to your story. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? Oh, you say, brother, at least you're not 70 yet, or you're not 65 yet, or you're not whatever. Just for the record, I'm not 65. Somebody say amen. I'm not even 64. I'm not even... Leave my business alone. But you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't close the book. You may think you have it all figured out. You know, the oldest member of this church is 94 years old, and she's here and she's looking wonderful. Praise the Lord, my sister. We have nobody 99 yet. We once had a brother 105, but he's home in the Lord. I'm only saying that to say this. You know, sometimes some of you golden eagles, you figure, oh, my story is wrapped up. God's vision for me is all wrapped up. Says who? How you know you're not supposed to be volunteering with Brother Johnson down in North Philadelphia? How do you know what plan God has for you? I am just saying, don't close the book, because God may still be writing an exciting chapter of your story. But God also promised Abraham everlasting blessing, and he has everlasting blessings in store for us as well. And God's best blessings are not on earth. My Bible tells me in John's Gospel chapter 14 that Jesus said, what? In my Father's house are what? Are many mansions. It says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will what? Come again to receive you unto myself. Listen, God's best blessings are ahead. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.